all of us know that God can do anything. But according to Scripture, there are at least three things that God cannot do. Tony Broom Ministries now presents the following sermon entitled, Three Things God Cannot Do. We've sung about God can do anything. My God can do anything. God can do anything but fail. And I'm glad God can do anything. Do you know there are some things, according to the Scripture, that God cannot do? There are some people who say that God does everything. Some blame God for everything. You look around the time that we're living in now, the pandemic, and all these things that are going on, many people blame God for everything that's happening. They are railing on God. They are saying, in effect, how dare you do so-and-so, and it's not God's fault. God didn't do any of that. He didn't do any of these things that are going on. We have choices to make, and many times we've made the wrong choice. Sometimes things come upon us that we can't help. We didn't have anything to do with it either. But somewhere along the line, somebody made a wrong choice. And in the beginning, we made the wrong choice. And Adam did, and we fell in line right with him. So we can't blame God. We can't blame the school teacher. We can't blame the preacher. Can't blame anybody but ourselves. Amen. For the things that come upon our life. And the biggest thing we can do instead of blaming someone is to try to find out what we need to do to get right with God. These people say God does everything good, He does everything bad. Well, God does only good things. Amen. Because we have a good God. Amen. Good God does good things. Amen. It's not even right to blame the devil for everything. All the wrong and evil comes from him, but some people just cop out. They like to blame the devil for everything. Exactly. It's like the preacher come into church and he passes the intersection. He sees the devil sitting on the curb and crying his eyes out. And the preacher said, "Devil, what's wrong with you?" He said, "Well, preacher, your church members blame me for everything." So sometimes we blame the devil for things that he's not even responsible for. Most people believe that God can do anything. But there are things, three things, at least, that God cannot do. The first thing is He cannot deny Himself. For God to deny Himself is something He cannot do. To deny Himself would be to deny His holiness and His righteousness and His love. God cannot be anything but love. Now, He hates sin, but He is love. And He is mercy, and He's kindness. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. It is a faithful saying, and all of God's Word is a faithful saying. If we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. Salvation is a life. Amen. Jesus said, "I've come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." And it's wonderful when you're spiritual dead and all of a sudden you've been given life in Jesus Christ. He quickens you and He makes you alive. Salvation is a life. But sanctification is a death. If we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. Amen. Sanctification is putting to death the old man, the old nature. Amen. You cannot make it with these two natures warring inside of you all the time. Right. Some people live for years with that going on inside them all the time. Paul describes it. I was carnal, I was under sin, and I came to the Lord, and I wanted to do right, and I couldn't. The evil that I didn't want to do, I ended up doing. And the good that I wanted to do, I ended up not doing that. Oh, wretched man I am, he said. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? And then he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ is the one who will deliver you from that struggle. He will deliver you from that torment. Now, you're saved and you love the Lord and you want to do what's right, but there's something going on. Ishmael is still in part of the house. You've got to cast him out of the house before you can have the complete victory that God wants you to have in your life. To be dead with Him, it's a sanctified life. It's a living life because you're saved, but the putting to death of the flesh. And sometimes it hurts. The mortification of the flesh hurts when you put the flesh to death. You will live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. The suffering that we're going through right now, Paul said, it's nothing to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. We who live in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But the suffering that we endure, and Peter talks about that suffering you're enduring now, don't think it a strange thing concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as so some strange thing is happening to you, but rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of his sufferings, that when the glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Hallelujah. We may be suffering now, but we will reign with him as sons and daughters of the Most High God, kings and princes and priests. We are a priesthood of believers, and we will reign with him. Amen. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me in this sinful and adulterous generation, in my words of him, shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels? We don't want him to be ashamed of us. So we better not be ashamed of him. Amen. If we deny him, he will deny us. Amen. Now, Peter denied the Lord, but you know what happened? Jesus said, I prayed for you, and your faith will not fail. When you're converted, strengthen your brothers. And Peter came back to the Lord. If you've done wrong, Satan will tell you, you've done wrong, you've messed up, there's no use to try. And all you've got to do is just pick up, dust your God Bless America off, keep on following God and keep on trusting the Lord. Amen. He'll pick you up, he'll love you up, he'll forgive you right where you are, and he'll take you back. Amen. If you come to him, he'll take you back. But if we deny him, he has no other choice but to deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. You might say, well, I don't even believe there's a God. I've heard people say it. Didn't seem like nobody had a problem believing in God until they integrated the schools. And then came all these people said, I don't even believe in God. They tell the teachers, I don't believe in God. All your problems start. You don't believe in God, you have no other rock to stand on. If we don't believe, you may say, well, I don't believe. That doesn't change anything. That just makes a choice. You can choose to believe or not to believe. But even if you don't believe, he still abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. And he'll keep on being God tomorrow. When you wake up, he'll keep on being God whether you believe it or not. He's still a father, he's still love, and he's still kind, and he's still merciful. He's still faithful, and great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Savior. He's still great, and he's a great God, and mighty, greater than the great, mightier than the mightiest, higher than the highest. He's still the champion of love. He'll be God tomorrow, and he'll be God 25,000 years from now, just like he is today.
Amen.
He is faithful. He cannot deny himself. God cannot deny himself, and I'm glad that he does not change. I am the Lord, and I change not. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Father is the same, the Son is the same, the Holy Spirit's the same, the Bible's the same, the Word of God is the same. They can make other versions and come out with perversions and translations, but it still doesn't change the Word of God. Amen. It's still the same. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. Amen. It's still God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. The Word of God is still the same. Sin is still sin, and righteousness is still righteousness.
Amen.
He cannot deny himself. He cannot lie. God cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? If God said something, you can, as the expression said, take it to the bank, because he will do it.
Amen.
The rain and the snow, we've seen both of those lately. It comes down from heaven and waters the earth and gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, makes the earth bring forth and bud. That's the way my word will be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I send it. God said, this is my word. My word will not return to me empty. It will accomplish that which I sent it for to do.
Amen.
And he is faithful to his word. He gives us His word. I have spoken my word. The word has gone out of my mouth and will not return to me void, He said. I am not a man that I should lie. I'm not the son of man that I should repent. Hath He said, shall He not do it? And hath He spoken, shall He not make it good? Titus chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God didn't have to come up with a plan just because you and I had messed up and said, I believe I better come up with something and make up a plan of what I need to do to allow people to be saved. God didn't have to come up with a plan. He already had this plan. Amen. It says right here, before the world began, the promise of eternal life, God had provided eternal life for every soul who would ever be born before the world ever had begun. Even before He had created anything, God had the plan in His mind and heart already whereby the people that were going to be created would be saved. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Amen. That God, the masterpiece, this universe, had it in His mind and heart, a plan whereby we could be saved. Even before Lucifer became the devil, God had the plan of salvation already made and already put in place. When the time came, He sent forth His Son into the world, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, and He came. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. To you is born today in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and He came to save us. Amen. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. If you say Christmas time, no, that's any time. July, June, it doesn't matter. Christmas time. Amen. For a believer, you got Christmas every day of the year. Amen. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. God promised it before the world began, and He cannot lie about eternal life. If God said He would give you eternal life, you believe on His Son Jesus Christ, He cannot lie, and He will give you eternal life. And I've got all kind of witnesses that can bear me witness that God will do and has done exactly what He said He would do. Amen. But hath in due times, that means when the time is just right, He manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. The preaching of the word of God brings a message of salvation. It may come through a skit or a drama that we have now. It may come through the song, but there's preaching. Preaching and teaching of God's word. In these due times, He has manifested His word through preaching. The plan of salvation and the promise of eternal life, which was in the heart of Father God all through eternity past, has now in the days in which we're living been manifested to the whole world through the preaching of God's word. And He makes it so simple. That which many preachers and many people think is so complicated, God said, I've made it to be simple. God took all the hard work. Jesus took all the complication out of it on the cross. And He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. He gives us that promise of eternal life. He's committed to us the word of preaching and the word goes forth. Hebrews 6:18 says that it is impossible for God to lie. Not only does God not lie, but it is impossible for Him to lie. God cannot tell a lie. And that proves that He's so much different than mankind. Because mankind, when we're born in this world, the psalm said immediately we go astray from God. As soon as they're born, they go astray, speaking things that are not right. And when we come to the age of accountability, it's held against us. And if we don't get right with God, we'll die in sin and go to hell. But there's a way that we can be saved. We don't have to keep on believing a lie. We don't have to keep on telling a lie. We don't have to keep on living a lie. Because the scripture said that all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Amen. Nobody needs to go there. Right. Plenty of people will because they're living a lie and they're believing a lie. All of us, once upon a time, were in a lie. The lie says you live for the devil, you have a good time, that's what life is all about. That's a lie. Amen. The scripture said in the last days that God will send them strong delusion that they would believe the lie. Amen. And listen to the one they shouldn't have been listening to start with. And that lie is being told. The lie is being told today. Liar, liar, your pants on fire. It's being told all in Washington. It's being told all the news networks. Just turn them on, go from one to the other. A bunch of lies. And the liars are telling lies. But I'm glad I serve a God that it's impossible for him to lie. He's got to tell the truth. As long as he keeps on being God, he's got to tell the truth. He cannot lie. He cannot be tempted with evil. That's the third thing. James 1:13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." God does not tempt you. There again, we get this thing all backwards when we're blaming God and saying, God did this and God put this on me and God is tempting me. No, it's not God that's tempting you. God does not tempt you. God cannot be tempted with evil. And there's a scripture we need to put in context and straighten it out. Somebody would say, I thought you said that Hebrews chapter 4 says he was tempted in all points like we are. Yes, he was. Jesus, when he came into the world, he was tempted in all points like we are, but you got to finish the verse, yet without sin. He did not sin. He could not sin. He's the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. He had a choice, and he made the right one. And he chose not to sin because he did not sin. He would not sin. He was not tempted with evil like we are. He's tempted like we are, but not with evil, because evil is not part of his nature. He was not tempted with evil. He was tempted in all points like we are. He suffered the hunger. He suffered the pain. He suffered all the things that we suffer. But he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And thank God he made the right choice for us. He went through that temptation in the wilderness to show us that even though we couldn't do it, that he did it for us. And all we have to do is depend on him. And through him, we can do it. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do it.
Amen.
Now, I don't want to be in them rocks and where he was in the wilderness and all that. But whatever my situation is, it may not be like his, but what my situation is, he'll help me. My situation to me is a big deal. Now, my situation to you, oh, that's not anything. Anybody can do that. But if I'm going through my fire, then it's a big deal to me. When you're going through a hard time, pressure, when you're going through your trial, it may not look big to me, but it's a big deal to you.
Right.
We're going through the things that we go through. When Jesus went through what he went through, it was a big deal, but he went through it for us.
Amen.
And he did it for us.
Amen.
He, God, cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man, this is how you're tempted. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Not God, not the devil, not your first grade teacher, not your mother. You're drawn away of your own lust and enticed. People don't like to admit that they have their own lust, but that's where the temptation comes from. That's where the temptation comes from, when you're drawn away of your own lust and enticed. The lust that is in you is trying to connect with the enticing that's out there in the world. And that enticing dangle, shangle thing that looks so beautiful out there in the world is dazzling before your eyes, and the lust that is in you tries to connect with that, and the little thing out there says, come on, come on, let me show you where it's at. No, you don't need to go on and see where it's at, because if it shows you where it's at, you're going to be at is in hell. That's where it's at. When you're tempted, you're drawn away of your own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. When the sin that is out there, or the temptation that's out there, gets together with the lust that's in us, it brings forth a seed of damnation called sin. When lust has conceived, it conceives with what? The temptation. Temptation is not sin. Until you yield to it, and then it's sin.
Amen.
And when the lust and the temptation get together and conceive a child, it's called sin. And when sin, it is finished, if it's not dealt with, when sin is finished, it brings forth death.
Amen.
The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God's shadow doesn't even change and turn. He's the same all the time. Every good gift comes from God. Not bad gifts. Every good gift comes from God. And comes down from the Father above, the Father of lights. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. He has no variableness. His shadow does not turn. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. He fathered us. He begot us. We became His sons and daughters. He created us when we were born. But then when we were born again, He begot us with the word of truth. His word of truth had a seed that came into the kingdom of God called Christian believers. And you and I are one of them. His word of truth, of His own will. Nobody made Him do it. Nobody sweet-talked Him or coerced Him into doing it. He did it with that same hope and promise of eternal life from eternity past, and that plan in the heart of Father God. He begot us. He fathered us spiritually. Of His own will, begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. We are to be the ones. You know that child thing said, me first, me first? We got to be first. Not the first of the first, but we got to be first. Do you know that because you're saved today, you got to be first before a whole lot of people? Because there's still so many people out there in the world struggling around in sin.
Amen.
But you've got to be first. He picked you. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. But He picked you anyway.
Yep.
He picked you. He chose you.
Amen.
Well, how do you know you're chosen? Because when you say yes to Jesus, you choose Him back. He chooses you. You choose Him back. How do you know who's chosen? Anybody who wants to come to Christ can be chosen. Whosoever will. Let him take the water of life freely. It's not a limited choice, a limited atonement. How can you say that Jesus died for one person and didn't die for somebody else? The scripture said He died for the sins of the whole world. The atonement is not limited. It's unlimited. The limitation is what we put on it, not what God puts on it.
Amen.
The limitation is our choice to continue in evil and serve Satan and sin. That's our choice. But it's not our choice. Thank God. We have chosen. The song said, I've decided to follow Jesus.
Amen.
There's no turning back. There's no turning back. What in the world? People our age, there's nothing to go back to anyway. Oh my goodness. If you try to be a sinner now, you wouldn't even make a good sinner anymore.
Right.
There ain't no need to turn back.
Amen.
We're getting ready to go up. There's no time to turn back. There's nothing to turn back to.
Right.
Jesus is coming. We're getting ready to leave out of here.
Amen.
And God, thank God. Three things that God cannot do. And there's a lot of things that He cannot do that because He doesn't want to do. God will not forsake you. He will never forsake you.
Amen.
We may forsake Him, but He'll never forsake us.
Right.
He always is there pulling for you. He's always there looking out for you. Father in heaven, thank You for the opportunity to be in this place today. Thank You for letting us share this word.
Amen.
And we have to use our head to think, because we know that You do everything. You can do anything. But according to Your word, there are three things that You cannot do. You cannot deny Yourself, You cannot lie, and You cannot be tempted with evil. I thank You that we serve a steadfast God, one who is the same, one who we don't have to worry about, will He change, will He be different, will He be mad at me, will He do things different. We know Your word, and Your word tells us who You are, what You are, and what You'll do. And I praise You for that. I thank You that You'll save, You'll heal, You'll bless. Many people will come to You today. They'll be saved and be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon entitled, Three Things God Cannot Do. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.